you might like the, you know, we got the theme this year for the camp, and if you could read this, it says, Spanish Peaks 2015 AD, I think, I am. And my wife made that up, so I'm not trying to advertise or anything, but pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. You know,
I am. The theme of this year, the great I am's, in revealing the character of Christ as he tells us just exactly who he is. Mine, I am the truth. And John 14, verse 6. John 14 and verse 6 is where that passage is found. And Jesus said to him, that would be Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. It's just no one comes to the Father but through me. Let's pray. Our great God and Father, we're excited to be here. We're thrilled to know that your character will be exposed to look at as we look at your word. Father, that Jesus has given to us everything that we need so that we can come to you. And we're excited, Lord, that those of us who have been immersed are working hard to try to bring others with us. Father, we heard more truth tonight in the prayer of Stan than often we'd hear in any other place in the United States. And I ask God that you help us to study your word tonight and on through this speaks and just have a great time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thought we might just talk a little bit about truth. It's a concept that's pretty foreign in this country. In the last couple of weeks, I've gotten a jury summons. It's exactly what it says for the state of Montana. And I will be on possibly chosen for a jury sometime between September 1st and August 31st of 2016. So I'm excited about the prospect of going in there and sitting down and having people get up in that witness stand and one of them say, this happened, and they were sworn to tell the truth, and the other one say, that happened, and they're contrary, and they both swore to tell the truth. I'm really excited to see what the truth really is. You know, and amazingly, just this week, I got a summons to sign up for the federal court system, too, so possibly could be spending some time in Butte, and I can hardly wait. You know, we've heard about things like truth in lending. It's a lie. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, I wrote it down here, 22 verse 7, the borrower becomes the lender's slave. That's all they need to print. Truth in lending. The borrower becomes the lender's slave. Be a lot less people borrowing, wouldn't there? Now, there's not anything wrong with you buying a house. I'm not trying to tell you don't do that. But I am saying that they don't have the truth there. I read that whole statement several times, and they can take my house from me, and it's nowhere in that truth in lending statement that they can take the house away and keep all the money that I put into it. It's not there. It's a lie. You've heard truth in advertising. Now, I was responsible for marketing for the Portland division of Safeway stores, and we did $2 billion a year of business, and we grew our business. It's really hard to market in these little snippets and tell the absolute truth. You can't hardly do it, so you come up with great ideas. You know, is there truth in advertising? Anybody think there is? There isn't. Here's some for you. I looked them up. Who would possibly abuse this as their theme, their short little snippet of truth? All the news that's fit to print. You know who that is? The New York Times. Who said they're the biggest liar in the country? That's a little further south, Washington, D.C.
That was close.
You'll wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth with?
Pepsodent.
Pepsodent was the first toothpaste invented. When they invented it, they had to come up with some way to get people to start using the product. 7% of the people in America brushed their teeth before Pepsodent was invented. Just thought you'd like to know that. Now, you wouldn't even think about going more than 2 or 3 weeks without brushing your teeth. Here you go. It's the real thing. What is?
Coke and milk.
Coke is the real thing?
No.
Well, I thought it was Jesus. Yeah, Coke, that's right. Reach out and touch someone. AT&T. Does advertising work?
Yeah.
Did they tell the truth?
No.
Have it your way.
Burger King.
Burger King. Have it your way. As long as it's exactly the way we'll fix it, you can have it the way you want it. Right? You can take an onion off or a tomato. But that's about it. It's not really having it your way. Oh, I like this one. Put a tiger in your tank.
Oh, yeah.
Truth in advertising. Right? Any difference between one brand of gas and another? Well, once we started selling it, we hired somebody who was that would be Safeway. Hired somebody, I got to talk to him. There is no difference. We can add an additive here or there and charge you a little bit more if you want, but in the end, gas is gas. I am what I am. Anybody know? No. I thought maybe Luke would know this one.
From the Bible or from advertising?
From advertising. Reebok. What is a clothing manufacturer? I am what I am? Huh? Truth in advertising. If there was truth in advertising, some of the slogans might sound a little bit more like this. For Adobe Acrobat, would you like to update? Nike. Just do it? No. Just buy it. How about Apple Macintosh? A $2,000 Facebook machine. Wouldn't sell, would it? Fiji water. The shape of the bottle makes it taste better. Probably wouldn't sell, huh? And this is my all-time favorite. iCloud. Hacker-friendly storage for your personal data.
Yeah.
There's no truth in advertising. There's no truth in lending. How about going to those bastions of truth? Universities. Where's John Rogers? Johnny? You're up. Last Lord's Day evening, John Ryger explained that Christians in America are responsible for global warming. That was his class. He had a test on it. He got a C-, his worst score in college. Is that correct? Probably because he had trouble saying Christians are responsible for global warming. That's what they're teaching on college campuses. That's the truth. I should quit right now. It's eminently apparent that truth is not going to come from our government. Right? It's not going to come from the bankers. It's not going to come from big business or even little business. It's certainly not going to come from the halls of upper or higher learning of our public university. Well, let's look up a dictionary definition. So I went back to one that was printed in 1927. I thought maybe I'd get a little closer to the truth almost 100 years ago. The state or character of being true. Well, I mean, when you use the word or a form of the word to define the word, it's really hard to get a definition, isn't it? Fidelity, meaning, you know, you stay true to your spouse. Constancy, it doesn't change. Honesty. Should have looked that up. Uprightness or integrity. Disposition to act without deceit. Disposition. Well, the time to do is not the truth, but the rest of the time it is the truth. Conformity with fact or reality. So, of course, I looked up true. Being in accordance with the actual state of things. If, in fact, you can measure that the Earth is getting slightly warmer, and they're talking about 0.025 being terrible, you can try to draw some conclusions. And the only reasonable conclusion is that we're in a little bit of a warming cycle, and God likes it that way, so shut up and go on about your life.
There you
go. Don't waste any more money on it. In the Bible, the word truth is in the Strong's Concordance is number 225, Aletheia? Or something pretty close to that?
Aletheia.
Mm-hmm. Closer. Much better. I'm glad you were here. 104 times. True is 227. Instead of the I-A-M-N, it's just an S. 21 times. And then truly, which is amen, or from the Old Testament even, amen, 99 times it gets translated as truly. It is truly a different word. So I decided, what am I going to do? How am I going to get this picture out? So I tried to find what's the strongest or the best case of something that we know to be true in the physical realm. What's the best thing? What about your driver's license? Huh? To get a driver's license, you have to have something. So I kept thinking, how about a birth certificate? Okay? It just turns out that they have two copies of my birth certificate. This one is from 1958. My parents must have had to ask for it because I was only 5 years old at that time, for any of you guys who thought I was an old man. Okay? This one, which would be a photocopy off of microfiche. Anybody know what microfiche is?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody who knows what microfiche is? You guys are old. Okay? This is from 1978, so it's something that Jane and I, my wife and I, requested. Between these two, there are 19 differences.
Wow.
Whoa.
Okay? Some of them are the kind of things that people say, oh, you can't believe the Bible over that. For example, my race or my color is white. In one case, they typed it with an uppercase, in one case, a lowercase. Does it make it true or untrue? Well, that didn't change just because you used a small W. But that's enough reason for some people to throw this book away. Doctor signature changes. Oh, by the way, the doctor signed it at on 9/21. I was born on 9/16/53. He signed it 9/21/52. And that's the recorded copy. And you know what makes this real? Is that there's an indentation there from the Michigan Department of Public Health. And then it's signed by George Van Amberg, the state registrar. Do you think he signed that, by the way? There were over 100,000 kids born the year I was born. You think he signed all of the ones that needed a new one? And Maurice S. Risen, he didn't sign it either. Oh, and the other one that was from 1958, Verna Kelly, deputy. This is to certify that the above is a true and correct copy of the certificate of birth of Gerard Albert Halpin, often on file in this office. I'm here to tell you that I cannot prove I'm Gerard Albert Halpin. I don't know. I think my parents tried to swap me in the hospital. And by the way, it does happen. Who knows? Who else is about 53? Born in 53. Yeah? Yeah? See? That's really Gerard Albert Hoffman sitting right over there. I don't know. And that's the very best piece of proof that I can find. That's the best truth I can find. It's the best truth you can find. You can build your entire life off of that truth. I was born on 9/16/53. It was my mother's 39th birthday, and my mom and dad loved me. I can get a driver's license when I turned old enough, based on that birth certificate. But the person I talk to doesn't know if the birth certificate's really mine. I can get my Social Security card. That's not the truth either, but we won't go there. You see where I'm coming from? There is no truth in this world physically. You can't go to these kinds of things. I can't prove anything. There's 19 mistakes between the two of them. It's only 20 years. They make one per year. It's adequate for basing my life on it. I'm pretty comfortable with it. I'm still going to use that name. They'll sell me a house, so let me go deep, deep, deep in debt over that name. That's okay. So, how far back can I go? I don't really know. Honestly, truthfully, if my eternity depended on it, do I really know that my father was my father? I mean, today we can do DNA testing, but in 1962, or 53, rather. I'm confusing my age and my birthday. I couldn't prove it. I have no doubt at all. But if God said your eternity depends on whether or not Clarence was your father, I'm in real trouble. I can go back four generations in this day and age where we got print and type and recordings and all kinds of stuff. I can go back four generations. There's Jerry, there's Clarence, there was Lewis, and there was Carl. And we can't go back any further. Oh, I could probably get out of what's one of those websites, and they'd dial up a whole bunch of junk, and it's all probably not true. But four generations. Yeah. I can go back to maybe 100 years. And that's my great-great-grandfather's birth to my birth. Okay, not to today. I can go 100 years. In America, in the 20th century. That's not very good. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Jump all the way down. Chapter 1, 1 through 17 is the genealogy of Jesus Christ back to Abraham. We'll read verse 17 only, but that's the genealogy. And therefore, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the time of Christ, 14 generations. 42! Anybody see any difference between my four and those 42? Anybody see any difference between my birth certificate with maybe Clarence, maybe Lewis, maybe Carl as the father, and those? You know who signed this one? His name wasn't Verna. The Lord God Himself signed that. This is truth. When Jesus was born, He had a record. An infallible record to start with. Is that important? He knew who He was. How about over here in Luke chapter 3? Luke chapter 3 in verses 23 through 38. And we're just going to read verse 38. Again, it's the same material as we saw in Luke. It's presented differently. There's some changes. I'm not going to get into that tonight. Verse 38, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Jesus Christ could track it back to Adam, to God. I can't track it back five generations. I can't prove it. Maybe some of you have longer histories, but I can't prove it. Is there any doubt about this? When God says the son of, the son of, the son of, the son of, that's the father of, the father of, the father of, the father of. We can trust this. We can know it's true. As I said, my birth certificate has the stamp of the Michigan Department of Public Health, and this truth has the stamp of the Lord God Almighty. When we're talking to people, their lives are based on all kinds of stuff. Maybe it's the real thing, you know, Coke. And it might be Coke. And it might be the other Coke. It might be based on, I am who I am, Reebok. It might be reach out and touch someone. It might be based on anything, but it isn't based on the truth until they become a Christian. I want you to back up to verse... I missed it. Verse 22 here in Luke 3. Luke 22. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and the voice came out of heaven, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus Christ, from the beginning, was the Son of Man, and every time he says, I am the Son of Man, he was the Son of Man, and he had evidence to prove it. And every time he said, I'm the Son of God, he had evidence to prove it. He told the truth. When he says in the passage we read in 14:6, John 14:6, when he says, I am the truth, he has the Holy Spirit-inspired record of fulfilled prophecy, the evidence of his miracles, and the carefully recorded genealogy to prove it, that he is the Son of God and that he is the Son of Man. Is that important? No one comes to the Father but through me. Is it important that he is who he says he is?
Yeah.
Is it important that it's the truth? Absolutely. Anybody who expects to go to heaven based on genealogy was in for a big shock. It isn't going to work. Now, John wrote his gospel, as near as we can tell, quite a while after the other gospels. And John, I told you, there's 104 times that truth is used in the New Testament. John does almost half of it. John really focused in on this idea of truth. There's a big reason for John's emphasis on the truth. Because by the time the Gospels are written and by the time the epistles are starting to come out, already we got men raising themselves up and calling themselves a senior bishop. You know, they're going to become the head guy. Already! I don't even know if Peter's flesh was cold. And the ones that were burned at the stake, theirs probably wasn't. I wanted to go through the book of John and look at what John has to say about the truth. And every time we look at these verses, look at them as if it was saying Jesus. All right? John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. We know that He's the Word. Look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. What's full of truth? Jesus. What else is full of truth then? The Word. The Word. Verses 17 and 18. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. to give us the truth, God had to come down here and live with us. Truth isn't acceptable when we can't grasp it, when you can't get a hold of it. The concept is too big. Well, let's see. The temperature rose this much over the highest, and the temperature rose this much over the highest, and the temperature rose. And here's the conclusion we draw, and then we say these facts, they're recorded, okay? That makes these facts the truth, whatever conclusion we draw. Facts don't create truth. You know what? There's a common saying, figures never lie. They don't. Numbers don't lie. The rest of that saying is, liars figure. And I have seen that many times in the business world. Turn to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we're well familiar, so I don't want to read all of this. We're well familiar with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus comes up to him and says, I know you come from God. Well, and Jesus says to him, then you need to be born again. Huh? Man, when he's old, can't crawl back up into his mother's womb and be born a second time, can he? And believe me, my mom, who only weighed 100 pounds, couldn't possibly have stuffed this 200-pound body in. It wasn't going to fit. And that's the picture he has. But Jesus is saying, I'm telling you the truth. You must be born again. You see where I'm connecting this to a birth certificate? You want a birth certificate that's truth, you better be immersed. Otherwise, everything is false, and you are not going to heaven. Truly, truly, I say to you, verse 5, unless one is born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh at its best. It's temporary. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And that's the truth. I don't understand. How can these things be? Are you a teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Keep on reading down there in verses 13 and 14. And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. Was he the Son of Man? He had a record to prove it. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. Then down to verse 21. But he who practices the truth. How can 21 be connected to this? But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. I don't want to go too deep in this. I'm pretty sure somebody has I am the light. So I'm not going to go any further with it. Do you see the connection here? How important is it that we're born again? There is no one who will enter into heaven anyway but through Jesus Christ, the truth. Chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. You're going to be in John pretty much the rest of the time. Chapter 4, 21 through 24, the woman at the well. We're familiar with the story. Woman, believe me that an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. It isn't good enough to just be born again. The truth is, you have to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. There's too many folks, unfortunately. We work hard, we get them to the water, and they dunk, and it's kind of dunk and run. Pretty soon they don't want to go the rest of the way. Their worship can't be 24/7, and so they quit. There is no one who's going to go to the Father except through the truth. Including how you worship the Lord. And your whole life has to reflect it, or you have no truth in you. Chapter 5, verse 33. Apostle John takes just a second here to talk about something. In verse 33, pardon me. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth, John the Immerser. But the witness which I received is not from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. Here's a man who was sent to be a witness, to teach people, turn to that truth. He has borne witness to the truth. He has borne witness to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the truth. Verses 37 and 38, first witness was John, 37 is, and the Father who sent me, he has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, and you do not have his word abiding in him, for you do not believe him whom he sent. The next witness is in verse 39 through 47. I won't read all of it. But the witnesses of the Old Testament scriptures speak of Jesus Christ. They're all telling the truth. The truth, the truth, the truth. You get four witnesses telling the truth, you can bring a conviction on that.
Yes, yes.
What kind of conviction? What sort of conviction? I'm guilty of being a Christian. You can convict me in any court of law you want to take me to. Are you guilty of being a Christian? Is the truth in you? John chapter 6 and verse 14. When therefore the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, this is of a truth the prophet who is to come into the world. What prophet were they looking forward to? Moses said a prophet will arise who is like me. They believe the Old Testament, the truth of the Old Testament, and they look forward to the New Testament arrival, what we would call the New Testament arrival of the truth, Jesus Christ. He is the prophet. In John chapter 8. In John chapter 8. And those of you who are following after, I tried to be careful of your verses, so this is kind of the way I took this thing. Chapter 8, we could pick it up in verse 28 and go all the way to 46, but we won't do that. Think about what it says here. When you lift up the Son of Man, he said, I have to be lifted up, right? Over in chapter 3. Then you will know that I am he. And I do nothing of my own initiative. I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. And he has not left me alone. for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. In verse 31 then, Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, no sense, they believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We are Abraham's offspring. We've never been slaves. Oh, yeah, sure you have. How can you say you shall be free? Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever, and the son does remain. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm free of what? Free of what? According to the Church of Christ preachers, I know, free of nothing. They're still slaves. The truth is not in them, and they are not free. According to Jesus, the truth is that when you come to him, you're freed from sin.
Amen.
So how much more sin am I supposed to participate in? Well, let me run it out for you. Let me get my cards, because I keep a record. Huh? And we're criticized because we believe that we can overcome sin in our lives in the physical realm? What are you a slave to? I'm a slave.
Yeah.
Christ. That's the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And they want to kill him because he's saying these kinds of things. Why would you want to kill somebody who says, I'm going to make you free? I speak the things, verse 38, which I've seen with my father. Pardon me. Therefore, you also do the things which you have heard from your father. We go on down. Who does he say your father is? And you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father is the father of lies. You know how to tell when a politician is telling a lie?
His lips are moving.
If his lips are moving. Any evidence of that in our lifetimes? Yes, we can. It's more like, yes, we did. He tell us what he was going to do? Hillary says that a baby's not alive until it leaves the hospital. Did you catch what I'm telling you?
Yep.
We want abortion to be even after they've been born alive. That's not abortion, that's murder. She's of her father, the devil. And the preachers will tell you, you got to keep going down the same sinful path, and you just keep asking for forgiveness, are also of their father. And that father's not my father. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Cows were mooing? Okay, turn to 14. John 14. 5 through 9. I'm going to read them because I know the others got to have these assignments. Chapter 14 and verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know when you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way. And he said, I am the truth. And he said, I am the life. That and is in there in the Greek. And because of that construction of language, you could just simply put, I am the way, period. I am the truth, period. I am the life, period. No one comes to the Father but through me. Absolutely the truth. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and there's enough for us. Philip, Thomas, you guys go line up over there. You're going to write 100 times on the board. You're just not getting it. Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Jesus said, I'm the Father. Is that the truth?
Yes.
Jesus is the Father? No one comes to the Father but through me? Yeah? Yeah? Wow. I guess his ways are above our ways. I think that's the truth, too. John 14, verses 16 through 21. This may be the calmest night I've ever had. I can even have my hearing aids in and not whistling into my ears. Verse 21, 16 to 21 in chapter 4. 14, 16 to 21. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. And that is the Spirit of truth. You see, Jesus said, here's my lineage. Jesus said, you have to be born again. Jesus said, you're going to need a helper. Jesus said, I am the truth. Jesus is leading the way all the way through the book of John. John has constructed this perfectly. Or maybe I should have said the Holy Spirit has constructed this perfectly. Or maybe I should have said, Jesus has constructed this perfectly. Or perhaps I should have said, God Himself has put this together perfectly. And it'd all be the truth, wouldn't it? I will send you another helper, that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. Oh, thank you, Lord. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me because I live. You shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you are, and you in me, and I in you. Pardon me. And he who has kept he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by the Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. And that's the truth. Do you want to know the character of Christ? We do. Because we want to have that to be our character. Well, let's find out who He says He is. Well, I guess that's what we're going to do this weekend. John chapter 15, verses 26 through 27. 26 and 27, chapter 15. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness of me, and you will bear witness of me also, because you have been with me from the beginning. We can trust this book. We can trust what they wrote. Jesus did not leave them as orphans, and He won't leave you as an orphan either. And the truth bears witness of Him. Might ask ourselves, who are we bearing witness of? How are you doing on your Bible study? How are we doing on talking to people? And you know, just before we got started, we're chatting over here, and Mr. Compton happened to ask a question. You know, and I think I've shared this with some of you folks. Sarah's been very ill. My daughter, and David's wife. And she had to have some surgery. A woman who is at the model home where we bought our house came zipping by to talk to me. And of all the amazing things that she could do, we talked for about half an hour. She's very concerned about Sarah. At the end, I asked for a Bible study. She says, okay. Huh? You know, I'm glad I left school that day at that time, because I wanted to, God had it all orchestrated. And so we're talking about, and I've somehow got to help her to understand this is the truth. And there is no other truth in this world. Nothing else you can hang by. Turn to chapter 16 and verse 7. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper, who's the helper? The Spirit of truth, shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Better if I go away. Help me to get a handle on this, guys. Don't you like it when you have somebody in the flesh to talk to and to be around and to be with? I mean, a spouse, a son-in-law. My grandsons, I got to ride up here with Late and Lance from I was going to say Butte, that's a long time ago, from Bozeman, and Lance is in the front seat. He says, Grandpa, yeah? You remember when you wore diapers? Lance, not no, yet. I don't. I don't remember that anymore. Well, I do. You're six, you know? It wasn't so long ago. Isn't it nice to have a companion? But Jesus says, I've got to leave the flesh because it's going to be better for you. going to be better for you. So we can get this book completely written so that the Holy Spirit can dwell in us. So that we can be immersed into Christ or in, you know, without being in the form, but that we can receive the Holy Spirit. That's what we need, and that's the truth. Chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Anybody ever watch that movie where Jack Nicholas and Nicholas responds with, "You can't handle the truth"? Yeah? That's a great line in the movie. Truth is, you can't tell the truth, but, you know, he can't. But most people can't handle the truth. We got to go at this pretty gently to get them to the point where they finally can get the truth. They can't handle the truth. What are you saying? You don't sin. What are you saying? You have an advocate with the Father. What are you saying? You got the Spirit living. What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? If we come straight out smacking them in the head, most people aren't going to hear us because they aren't ready for the truth. They built their life on lies. But he says in verse, as we go further here, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, and therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Who's going to guide them into all the truth? 3 years of living side by side with him? 40 days after he's resurrected, he walks this earth with him. And they need some more. Aren't you glad that God knows how much we need the truth? Turn to 17, John 17. In verses 13 through 21. 13 through 21. But now I speak, I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and this is his high priestly prayer. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them from the world, but keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Make holy. As thou didst send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, for that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, and that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you did send me. The truth. John chapter 18. John 18. Don't you love this one? We'll pick it up in verse 33. Pilate therefore entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" John answered, Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation, the chief priests, delivered you up to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Pilate therefore said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate, you just heard his voice. And what does Pilate say? Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" I happened to have some conversation with Matt Hartford the other day, and he said to say hello, men. We got into this a little bit. It's pretty clear that Pilate had thought about this and really did not know what the truth was. Not just about this. What is truth? I mean, we use it, we talk about it, but we don't even really know what it is. Well, same thing's still true today. In chapter 9 and verse 35, "And he who has seen has borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you also may believe." So when he's writing these words, when John is writing them down, he might as well have said, "And he is telling Jesus." is talking about the character of Jesus. John is telling the truth. Finally, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're gonna conclude here. Do I hear an amen? No. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Mm-hmm. I want you to really, 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 really think about what I'm going to cover here. Think about these verses. I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. This is the Apostle Paul. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. What's the household of God? Anybody? The church?
The church?
The church? Us? This is how you're supposed to conduct yourself. Go ahead and read the rest of the chapter. I'm not going to do it now. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. No one else is supporting the truth. Pillar supports. Bulwarks. Old King James. The church is the only one presenting the truth. The only one that is the support of Jesus Christ. There's nobody else. Any of your neighbors need the truth?
Yes.
Cliff, not yours. It's right close to our church building. We're all okay. Any of your neighbors need the truth? That's Missoula. How about Great Falls? Mark, anybody in Missoula need the truth? Oh, yes, I know about Missoula. Anybody from Butte up here yet? Yeah. Does Butte need the truth? They need it more today than they did 35 years ago or so when I left here. And they needed it bad then. Does California need the truth? Really, 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 really bad. But I had to leave. I just couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't afford it anymore either. And that's the truth. The church is the pillar and the support. We just covered a whole bunch of passages from John. Not all of them, but a whole bunch of passages about who Jesus is and how important the truth is and what the truth will do for you. It sets you free. And we are the pillar and the support of the truth. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And the church has that message to deliver to this world. That's the truth.